Hello, everybody. Well, I say everybody. Let's see how many viewers we get tonight. This is an unusual live post on what CES is, which is Philippines Tech Exchange, with two local experts. With me, I've got Elton, and I've also got Honor. Now, I'm going to take a bit of a back seat in this, because my knowledge of Philippines Tech Exchange is limited locally. However, these guys really know what they're talking about. So, Honor, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Thanks, Paul. Guys, welcome to a special episode of Transporting the Philippines. Together with me is Alquin, and we have Paul also to join us in our discussion of this big problem that came to us in a few days ago. It's about China's Evergrande company that's probably going to be one big I can't curse. This is a live show.
Yes, good evening, guys. My name is Alquin Papa. I am an investor in the Philippine stock market. And both me and Bonner are avid practitioners of technical analysis of the stock markets.
That's right.
And so every week we have a podcast called Trendspotting in the PSE. And you guys can check out that podcast. We talk about the local stock market, the Philippine stock market. We talk about technical analysis, of course, and certain sectors and trends. We've talked about the telecommunication sector, the mining sector, the prospects there for investors, retail investors in the Philippine market. So yes. Now let's go to the topic at hand, which is Evergrande.
Yes.
So what is Evergrande all about? Technically, I just heard of this around like 2 days ago, and I have no, assuming I have no idea what it is, how can you explain what Evergrande is and what is going on?
Okay, in a nutshell, Evergrande is China's second largest real estate developer.
Yes, real estate developer. Mm-hmm.
But it's also the one with the most debt. Okay. How much debt are we talking about? We're talking about in excess of $300 billion.
Do they owe the Chinese banks and Chinese government, or do they owe foreign banks?
I'm not sure
banks?
About the government, but definitely they owe a total of $305 billion. So right now there's a speculation on what's going to happen with this one, because it looks like they're going to default.
Okay.
So will a bailout by the Communist Party be good or not? So it works both ways. So we'll talk about that in a while.
How did they incur this debt in the first place? Well, apparently
acquiring land banking. They have a lot of properties. Total land bank is roughly around 231 million square meters.
Okay.
So we're talking about the size of Manhattan times four.
That's big. But so they are in danger of defaulting. Is that correct?
Yes.
On these debts. Okay. Why did it reach the point where they are defaulting? Because that means, technically, in simple terms, it means that they can't pay off this 305 billion. So many zeros. 305 billion US dollars, right?
US dollars.
Yes, okay. So is there any report why they are defaulting?
Definitely. One problem is this year, $52 billion in loans are due. So that's one.
Okay.
The other, you have $7.4 billion in bonds due next year. Let me add, right now, bondholders will have to get a cut from their initial investment to only what's left is 25% of that. That's how bad their bonds are right now. Based on the downgrade in their credit ratings, plus what's happening here with their bonds. I've heard that anyone who is lending them any kind of loan now is charging them 60% interest. Very high. If we take a look at how the share price is performing since 2020, September of 2020 to be exact, share prices have dropped by 85%. Now, what are they trying to do to avoid a total collapse? They're trying to offer whatever properties are available at a 25% discount. However, people are just not buying. I think they're all waiting for a default so that they can get all the properties at a much cheaper rate. Okay. There is some speculation that China might devalue the Chinese yuan so that it can cover for the possible economic fallout. However, like we said, this is just speculation. There is no clear sign that this will happen in the near future. Now, it's said that Beijing will not let Evergrande go bankrupt because it might undermine the regime's stability. Okay. Bloomberg reported that the Guangdong province hired a team of accountants and legal experts to advise Evergrande on its restructuring, but it's not going to consider a bailout. Now, as far as the Communist Party is concerned, on one hand, the question is, will they let Evergrande collapse? And will they allow the ripple effect from it to happen, which is homelessness for these people who bought the houses, but it's not even built? A possible bankruptcy of hundreds of Evergrande suppliers, loss of confidence in the real estate sector and the Chinese market in general. This could also lead to joblessness, which can also lead to civil unrest. Definitely, the Communist Party is not going to be happy if that happens. On the other hand, if they bail out Evergrande and assume all the liabilities and risk of Evergrande, it might set off a precedent of bailouts for other over-leveraged real estate companies. And with the real estate companies, the real estate sector accounting for nearly one-third of China's GDP, this large of a liability is going to affect their GDP numbers in the very near future. So this is going to be one big mess.
Okay. So it looks like, does it seem to you like it's some sort of an issue of mismanagement by those on top?
Okay. Definitely, this is all a right. case of financial mismanagement. If you were able to see the news a few days ago, there were a lot of people who were camped out outside their headquarters in Shenzhen.
Yeah, I think I saw a TV report on that, yeah.
Yes, because these people put deposits on homes that are not yet built.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Now they have no idea if they're going to get their money back.
This is slightly different from the housing bubble of the U.S.
Yes.
No? Because, yes, there were other financial instruments involved in the U.S. Housing bubble, but in this case, it looks like it's more direct. It affects homeowners.
Yes, definitely. One other thing that happened was that Moody's and Fitch both downgraded their credit rating.
Ooh, okay.
Okay. The last thing I saw, Fitch downgraded their long-term foreign currency issuer ratings for Evergrande and the subsidiaries of which are Hengda Real Estate and Tianji Holdings to CC from CCC Plus.
Okay,
what does
That's
this all
not a good
mean?
Sign. Yeah.
It's like this. If you have a credit rating between AAA Plus to BBB, you are investment grade. You're good to go. If you're lower than that, which is what Evergrande is right now, you are very speculative. There's a good chance that you will default if you're getting this kind of credit rating.
So what is the effect? Let's start with the effect on the Asian markets. Of course, if they default and there is a bailout somehow, there's no possibility of a white knight here. White knight meaning, you know, another big financial, maybe institution, maybe private, to come in and save Evergrande.
Well, first things first, will there be a bailout? Okay, so there's two sides to this. Mm-hmm. If they get the bailout, well, on one hand, the Chinese government, I know, is not keen on adding more debt to their current debt.
Okay.
So we're talking about $3.5 billion that they're going to add on to their own debt. I don't think they're going to do that.
Okay.
So bailout is questionable.
Okay.
So on the other hand, if they allow Evergrande to collapse, please take note, the real estate property the property sector in China contributes to around 29% of their whole economy. So if this closes, they're going to drag the property sector down with it. Okay, so there's going to be a fallout among the real estate companies. Plus, you can be sure it will drag the Chinese economy down.
So when there's Chinese a domino economy, effect. Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a domino effect. So if the Chinese economy falls because of this, you can bet, because they're the biggest economy in Asia. The whole of Asia is going with it.
I hate to ask, but what is going to be the effect on the Philippine market now that we've mentioned the Asian market, other Asian markets?
In a nutshell, we are going to be collateral damage.
So is this like a catastrophic level, apocalyptic level kind of?
Well, we don't have a direct impact, so that's a good news.
Okay.
But because you are in Asia, mm-hmm. and everything's gonna fall, mm-hmm. I think this is what we call in Tagalog, dami-dami na.
Is this going to be the same scale as the Asian real estate collapse?
The property bubble back then?
Yes.
I can't say for sure, but I think this may be worse.
Yes, because if you remember right, that property bubble was started in when did that start? Where did that start? It did start in China.
It was around 10 years or so back. So it's been some time.
So long ago. Okay, so long.
Some
ago.
Time. So I can't remember all the details.
Okay, I won't hazard a guess. What can we do to mitigate the effects of a potential collapse?
As the Philippines itself, I don't think there's much we can do, because we're not we're not directly affected by it. Mm-hmm. So, actually here, Jet has a good question.
Okay,
What's the impact of the Philippine in the Philippine real estate market? I think it also answers the same question that you asked earlier. What can we do to avoid this? There's not much you can do. So, it may have some effect, but I don't think it's going to be a direct effect on us. So there's really not much we can do. It's all just a matter of looking at what happens next.
For example, if you were a real estate company, corporation in the Philippines, and then Evergrande collapses, and your debtors are looking at you and thinking, this might happen here, so they will pull out any potential investments or even existing investments. Is that possible?
They might. Ooh. But if they're able to show them that the situation here is not as bad as the one in China, then it may be able to allay some fears.
Yes. But you remember, Bonner, in the property bubble in Asia 10 years ago, the popular opinion is that the Philippines was able to weather that property bubble and the resulting economic fallout because I think it was former President Gloria Arroyo who said the monetary policies helped keep us afloat. Do you think those same policies will save us in a way from Evergrande?
It might. Yes. It might. Because if we are going to compare with what happened back in the U.S., as far as interest rates are concerned, ours are higher. So not that many people are able to avail of the loans that are out there for you to put into real estate.
Okay.
In the U.S., as far as I know, it was in... We were just talking about decimal points, not 1%, but rather 0.25, okay, more or less. So mm-hmm. So the interest rates were very cheap. Mm-hmm. So people were able to borrow money and then buy properties left and right. Mm-hmm. Well, that might be an exaggeration, but it was easier for them to buy houses rather than those who are here. As far as I know, the cheapest property you can buy now is a studio unit in a condominium that runs for $2 million, and not many people have that.
Yes, I remember our episode on the real estate sector, and I think there was some discussion on an existing bubble or a potential bubble here in the Philippines. In terms of the real estate, because of the pandemic, yes.
Yes, I think what we touched on was that there was a quick expansion of properties.
Yes.
And we were seeing condominiums being
occupancy. Left and right. Yeah, occupancy was low.
Yes, yeah. I myself was wondering. Who's buying all of these units? Not everyone here in the Philippines has that kind of money to buy these units. Then I forgot to look on the other side, which is where the mainland Chinese have come, put their money here. They're the ones buying all these units. And what I heard was in cash. I could be wrong. But they have, in a way, they have prevented the bubble to burst.
Okay.
But remember, they're not using this only for their own personal use, but they're also using this for their business.
Like
we're talking about POGOs.
POGOs and BPOs.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So, but the POGOs and the during the pandemic, BPOs shut down and the POGOs are also out, right?
Yes.
So as it stands, as it were, the property sector isn't really as attractive now, would you say?
Well, if prices are still the same, no, they're not that attractive. So in order for the developers to do something about the units, they need to give some kind of discount to make it a little more attractive.
Going to the Philippine Stock Exchange. Mm-hmm. What can the average, you know, retail investor, like maybe you and me, what should we watch out for? I mean, is there any sector that that will first be hit by Evergrande, just so we have some sort of signal that the whole market will turn?
Well, I think most of the subsectors look very, very much alike. Let me share to you. Well, this is the index itself, so that's not looking good. But let's look at the property sector. If I zoom out, it is very similar to how the index looks. So yes. It's not looking good. The financials, so we're talking about banks. They're not that bad, but they're in the same boat. The holding sector looks very similar to the index. So with the industrial, service is doing good. The one that we were looking at for any sign of bullishness is actually here in the mining sector.
Mining sector, okay.
So this one is an exception. But as far as the index is concerned, going back here, okay, if you guys can see this, we have what we call a head and shoulders pattern. This is bearish. Mm-hmm. This is one of the rare occasions where you can see that the index came from a downtrend. Normally, you would find this coming from an uptrend. So this is when prices keep going up and then it forms this pattern, which is bearish. And what we've seen is that right here in this area, we were looking at at the support of 6950. That was broken. We close at 6912. Downside for this is at around 6737. But even if it does reach that, it doesn't mean it's over, because that now makes this part look like another bearish pattern, which can push us further down to this level. What level is this? 6,360. Now, This number keeps changing every day because we see that our support line here keeps slanting upwards. So every day this will keep going up. But the one thing that is constant here is that when this neckline is broken, we are looking at a downside of 20%.
Yeah.
So that's, we're talking about 5,000. That's quite far.
Oh, that's a deep drop. And you think Evergrande can be the trigger here?
I believe it might be one of the triggers for this. My earlier concern was about how we are going to be dealing with all of our quarantine situations.
Yes.
As far as I know, our index is very antsy when it comes to declarations of lockdowns. So that's what I was expecting first. Now that Evergrande came into the picture, this might be some kind of double whammy for the index. Mm-hmm.
The recent change in the lockdown situation, where some businesses are opening, although, you know, there are some percentages, like, for example, certain establishments will open only 10% in attendance, etc. That is not enough to weather this this coming perfect storm, in a manner of speaking.
They won't be able to survive if they operate at only 10% capacity. I know which industry you're talking about. The ones that I've been seeing recently is in the restaurant industry.
Yes, the restaurant so service. Mm.
They're definitely taking a big hit.
Okay.
And as a consumer, I've seen so many of these other establishments, they've closed for good. That's the sad part of all this. You won't be seeing any of your favorites anytime soon.
Given that the elections in the Philippines will be held next year.
Yes.
So you have elections, you have Evergrande, you have the pandemic, you mix that all up together, and what does it look to you in at least until maybe in the maybe till the end of the year? How does that look to you?
Traditionally or seasonally?
Yeah.
Fourth quarter of every year is supposed to be strong.
Okay.
Supposed to be. The problem is we have that bearish head and shoulders looking at us in the eye. It's waiting for the other shoe to drop. So when that does, I don't think we'll be seeing that fourth quarter that we were expecting.
That rosy fourth quarter that we're expecting.
Not December round.
Yeah, because Filipinos, you know, we love the Christmas season. You know, we tend to celebrate. Yeah. That's not going to stimulate some sort of, at least keep the economy afloat. I mean, that kind of consumer consumption.
Christmas is still going to come in. It's not going to be canceled anytime soon.
Yeah. And Filipinos will celebrate it. You know, that's for sure. But it won't. But the consumption there won't be enough, right? Because
it only needs to be simpler.
The pandemic has curbed our consumption, in a manner of speaking. I mean, you know, we don't go to the malls anymore, and we probably don't spend as much. Although there is online spending.
True, but everything has shifted to online, so I'm sure. And apps like Shopee, Lazada, all these other similar apps, they're the ones that are quite robust right now. Yes, oh, we have another question.
Yeah, from Jet Manila Gunner. For the small and medium entrepreneur, what would it look like with the three-headed monster looming? The elections, pandemic, and Evergrande. Well, for sure, you know, my opinion here is that if you are a small and medium entrepreneur, and you have and you want to continue your business even into the fourth quarter, Bonner, because I think for a small and medium entrepreneur, you're looking at the fourth quarter because you're thinking, I gotta be operational here because consumption might kick in and I can profit from that. But I think it's very important for small and medium entrepreneurs to go online. You know, they have to have an online presence because if they are not there, they will miss the boat. I'm sort of on the fence on election, pandemic, and Evergrande. I mean, pandemic and Evergrande for sure, for me, that looks to me like a perfect storm. You know, that's going to come in and do a lot of damage. The pandemic, I think the lesson there is that small and medium entrepreneurs have to have an online presence. The elections is also some sort of a question mark, but I think elections, there is usually a lot of spending. Nice cash flow, you know, so because of the elections. So I think that can also drive consumption. But given the pandemic and the elections, I'm not really too sure. Because you have to remember that in the pandemic, a lot of people lost their jobs. The tendency really is to... And there's a high degree of uncertainty. So there's a high degree of, you know, keeping your cash safer, you know, and not spending too much. Well, what do you think about
also
that?
Also keeping your sanity.
Yes, of course. You have to mitigate that kind of anxiety too, right?
Yes, but definitely with my own experience, also, as a small and medium entrepreneur on the side, it's not wise to have a brick and mortar kind of shop right now. You gain a lot of overhead for that. So the key now is move your business online.
Okay.
We're not saying everybody goes online. Okay. There are some who are still good to go with the brick and mortar. But for the smaller ones, the ones who don't have a name yet, they have no choice. They have to go online. Everyone's online.
Yeah.
So we had an earlier question with the 13 month. I don't think there's going to be any effect on that because this is already mandated by law. Everyone is guaranteed to have a 13 month pay.
What about the next question for from Jet Money Laguner. Would you like to take that one?
Shopee and Lazada are mostly Chinese merchants from mainland China. Would it affect prices? Would India, Vietnam, and Bangladesh fill in the void if the Chinese suppliers collapse? Will it affect prices? It now depends on how your supplies are. If most of them are from China, you can bet prices are going to spike.
Yes,
but
I agree.
If other countries can step up, it doesn't need to be all from China. You can be right. Some of them could come from Thailand, from Indonesia, around the region. So long as these are still up and running, I don't think there's going to be much of an effect as far as the prices are concerned.
Well, if they are also affected by Evergrande, that can also be a factor too, right? Because
true, but life must go on.
Yeah, their prices might be too high too. You know, it really depends on how this Evergrande drama plays out, because if or how far the effects will radiate, you know, because if you are a small economy and you are in the region, for sure this will be very, very big waves. So
well, we have some updates on Evergrande for the last 2 days.
Okay.
First of which is that somehow Evergrande was able to get a 14 billion infusion, but from this is not going to last long.
Yes.
I think it came from the central bank. But
it's not going to
last long. Maybe it's only good for 2-3 months, but they need to sell their assets.
Yes,
they need to pay off these loans.
That's the Chinese central bank, right?
Yes.
So in a way, it's like a small bailout.
In a way, like it's not good for the whole thing. All the camping out in the offices of Evergrande, that's not going to do anything for the investors, because we all know you have a debt, you're going to be obligated to pay off the loans from the banks. After that, then you pay off your suppliers if you have any money left.
Oh yeah, okay.
Then the investors. So okay, that's a problem.
I mean, the investors are going to get the short end of this whole thing. Anyway,
so
there's
going to be a lot of people who are going to be homeless, unfortunately.
Oof, that sounds bad. Okay. Maybe last question.
Okay.
As an investor in the Philippine stock market, if you talk to me, we're friends, and you tell me this story. You talk to me, and I ask you, what am I going to do? What do you say? Will you tell me stay out of the markets first or something else?
That now depends on what are you holding on to. Are you holding on to something that's making money for you? If it is, I'm going to say get out. Sell, get your profits. If you have any, get out, stay on the side. If you're someone who has something and all you see is red, if there's a chance for any kind of rally, you may want to take that small loss. Well, small is relative, but you may want to take that loss and then sit on the side.
Okay.
However, if you're just thinking about getting into it,
think twice. Think twice.
Okay. Sure. I think that's as well. I think there's the glamour of people having money in the market, but don't be in a rush. Okay, this is not a sprint. Okay, the whole market, if you try to put your money in the market, this is a marathon, and you have to pick your battles. Okay, look for the ones that will give you a good profit.
Okay.
I think there's not much we can do as far as this Evergrande situation is concerned.
Well, that's it. That is the situation now, and the potential, the future looks a little dire. For sure, we will be watching the Evergrande controversy very closely. We will also be watching the Philippine stock market very closely for any clues as to where it will go. But technically, we've already told you where it might go and the potentials here. And we've given you the advice. So that is it for our episode of Trendspotting in the PSE. As usual, I am your host, Alquin Papa. And like I always say, knowledge is always a good investment.
And I'm Boren Ditok. I'm reminding you of two things. Number one, we have our seminar. Well, we call it a webinar now because we're forced to do it online. So our next batch is going to be on October 9, 16, and 23. So you can call me or you can reach me at the numbers that were being shown there. We have the numbers down there. So you can just give me a message about it. I can give you the details. And again, I'm reminding you that the trend is your friend.
Okay. Bye, guys.
See you, guys.